Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your son who came and called us to listen, called us to listen deeply and to think. And Lord, we pray that your gospel would come now, not only in word, but in power and Holy Spirit and with full conviction. Amen. Well, this morning I want to talk about secrets, and every family has secrets. Right? Some of you, I've looked at you and you're going, because you're thinking about your secrets right now. And we have secrets in our family. The Cook family has dark, dark secrets, right? We do. I'm not going to lie to you. It's pretty dark. We have, like, the one secret about my Aunt Othel, who had her pet pig, Peanut. And Peanut slept with her in the bed. And I don't worry. It's not that bad. But the secret of our family was that one night I got really cold, and Aunt Othel was using an electric blanket to keep warm, and she forgot to turn it off, and that's how come she won't eat ham no more. I'm kidding, that didn't really happen. You know, I always tell stories like this, and when Nikki and I first met, she's like, you know, I don't believe any of your stories. And then she went to meet my family, and she came back, she's like, you know, that could be true. All of this could be true that Lee says. It could be true. You know, we have other secrets that, you know, we keep secrets from our children for their own good and for our own good. Like, you know, I mean, you know that they're not supposed to eat cookies, you know, in between meals. They'll ruin their appetite or whatever, right? And I don't really care, but I have to toe the line. It's part of what I signed up for when I became a parent, right? And so, but there are secrets. We even keep secrets from our kids. There may or may not be a pack of Samoas ziplocked in the tank of my toilet. There may or may not be. Hey, don't judge me. Don't judge me. Ed Begley Jr. said it was good for the environment, so there, right? I'm saving water, right? I'm filling up my tank with cookies because they only come out once a year, and right? And Samoas are something you need throughout the year, and you got to hide them or else the kids will find them. So you find a good spot for them, and let's face it, none of my family is looking in the tank. So that's a good safe spot, all right? Jesus has secret family secrets as well. That's what this series is about, this series of stories that Jesus tells in Matthew 13. And I hope you will go and you will continue to read this whole chapter today. And you'll think about what these all mean, because all the stories are interrelated. And Jesus is telling his family secrets. As a matter of fact, at the end of Matthew chapter 12, Jesus' family, his mothers and his brothers, who really have never caught on to Jesus' message, in Matthew chapter 3, it says that they came to try to get him because they thought he'd lost his mind, right? And in Matthew chapter 12, they're still there, but Jesus looks around and someone says to him, look, your mothers and your brothers. And he says, well, these are my mothers and my brothers, these people who hear my word and do it. And so Jesus is about to tell a family secret. And so he begins with this story. And this story is a story that we've heard many, many, many times. And in one sense, it really makes a lot of sense to us about the word. But not everybody got it, right? We know that when Jesus tells the story, he tells a story about a sower. And he says, and he sowed on four different kinds of soil. And we see this progression that the plant never even took root. And then the plant took root, but it died when the sun came on, right? And then the plant grew to full adulthood, but it couldn't produce fruit because of the thorns. And finally, it produced fruit. You see this progression. And then Jesus ends by saying, let the one who has ears to hear, let him hear. And that's code. And when Mark, in the Gospel of Mark, Mark will often put a little notation. He says, let the reader understand. What he's saying is, hey, this is code. You need to think deeply. You need to stop for a minute and realize it's like a coded message. And in very sense, very real sense, it is a coded message, right? Jesus is in the midst of a king named Herod who really thought he was the rightful king of Israel. And then he had a Roman emperor far away in Rome. And Jesus is having this, in some ways, code his messages because it's not the right time for him to be, for the full weight of all of this coming on him. He needs to kind of hide his message cryptically just for a moment. It's going to become full, but right now he's hiding it. And so he's telling him, he says, let the reader understand. He who has ears, let them hear. And so he's going to begin to tell us. And so what Jesus is doing is the story of the sower is calling us into a deeper story. It's one of those stories that we're going to have to think deeply about. And in order to understand it, we're going to have to see what all of these stories in chapter 13 have to do with each other. And so Jesus is telling this parable right? And we often think of parables as, you know, sort of earthly stories with heavenly meanings. But really, Jesus is telling a parable that's sort of cryptic. They don't really understand. It can mean lots of different things. Who knows what it means? And then his disciples come to him. And remember, he's out on a boat. And the disciples turn and say, but Jesus, what are you doing? Why are you talking to these people in parables? They're not getting them. Why are you doing this? What's going on? And Jesus says something very profound. He says, I'm telling parables because to you, meaning the disciples, he says, to you it has been given to understand the mysteries. The Greek word is the word that we get our word mystery from. It just passed straight over into English, right? But the word mystery is a word that we use when we don't understand something, right? Mystery is something like when my kids ask me why the moon follows us at night, I just say, it's a mystery. Meaning, I don't know. Like, it's beyond understanding. It's probably not. There's probably a scientist who can tell me why, but I don't know. So I just say it's mystery, right? But mystery is not an unsolvable sort of thing. The word mystery here probably means, better translated as, secret. There are secret things that only you guys can know right now. And so to the rest, I speak in parables. And then he goes into this long diatribe, and it goes back to this prophet named Isaiah. In fact, I hope your Bibles, as you follow along, I hope your Bibles sort of have a little message there. Because Jesus says, I'm preaching in parables because they can't see and they can't hear and their hearts are dull. In fact, he then quotes from Isaiah, who says almost the exact same thing. He says, in Isaiah, he says, you will be ever hearing but never understanding. You'll be ever seeing but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. Right, he says, you will be ever hearing. We hear with our ears. They'll be ever seeing. We see with our eyes. But neither can we hear, really listen, or to understand, or see and perceive what's happening, or understand in our hearts. Now, this is Isaiah's call, and it's a very interesting call. When we go back to the book of Isaiah, remember, the people of Israel are, and it's the southern kingdom, the people of Judah, right? They have been sinful in God's eyes. They've not done what God's called them to do. They've not followed the law. And God's bringing judgment, but he sends a prophet, and he sends his prophets to call them to repentance. And he calls Isaiah at the very beginning of the book of Isaiah in chapter 6. Isaiah has this wonderful vision of God, and God calls him. He says, who will go for us? And Isaiah says, I will go. I will go and preach the good news. Only Isaiah finds doesn't sound like good news to him. Right? God says to him in Isaiah chapter 6, and you don't have to turn there if you don't want to, but I'll read it to you. God calls Isaiah to preach, and Isaiah says, well, what do you want me to say? And he says, be ever hearing but never understanding. Be ever seeing but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people fat or calloused. Make their ears dull and close their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts and turn. That sounds familiar, right? Jesus just quoted this passage. And what Isaiah hears is, he says, God calls him to go out and preach. And what he tells him at the very beginning is that this people will not hear you. But you are to preach in a way that will keep them from hearing in some ways. What he's saying is, and Isaiah's confused, and because prophets come to help people return. And what God says is, no, it's not going to happen. And Isaiah says, how long am I supposed to preach this way? How long will I keep preaching and no one listen? And God comes to him and says, until the cities lie ruined and without inhabitant. Until the houses are left deserted and the fields ruined and ravaged. Until Yahweh has sent everyone far away and the land is utterly forsaken. He says, that's how long you're going to preach. You're going to preach until I bring judgment on Israel. Because that's what needs to happen. Israel needs to be judged and sent away so that something can happen. Listen what he says. He says, and though even a tenth, a small portion remains in the land, it will again be laid waste. But as the oak leaves stumps when they are cut down, so the holy seed, you hear that word seed? That should connect to you. Well, what have Jesus been talking about? Seeds. Right? He says, just like when you cut down an oak and there's just a stump left, this holy seed will come up like a stump and a new tree will grow in its place. See, what Isaiah was saying is that God is going to bring judgment on his people Israel. He's going to send them far away, but one day he's going to bring them back. There's just going to be a stump left. We think it's dead, but it's not dead. Because in that, the holy seed, this holy, just a few people left in Israel, this holy seed will grow into a brand new tree. And God's going to do new things in their midst. Now, when Jesus quotes from Isaiah chapter 6, everybody in his audience understands what he's talking about. Right? He says, guess what? This idea of this new holy seed coming, it's all happening right now in your midst. Yes, God has cut down the tree, and he did so by sending them into exile to Babylon. But now they're back, and God is now raising up a brand new shoot. A brand new branch is coming up, just a little seedling. It's just a small seedling, though. But it's there. And it's happening right now. The prophecies that Isaiah said are now coming true. There's this new thing happening in Israel. And then Jesus begins to tell about how these seeds he plants. And he says that just as in Israel, Israel did not heed God's word. And because of that, they were judged. But now Israel is once again hearing the word. Will Israel heed this time? Will Israel listen? Will you listen this time? And he goes on to tell some other stories. And we didn't read all those stories, but I'm going to just kind of go through and give you the flavor of some of these other stories that Jesus tells in the Gospel of Matthew. He begins to tell stories about how things grow. Remember, he's talked about, and we got to keep this in context, right? He has this vision that there's just a stump. Israel's been cut down, and there's just a stump. But there's this holy seed that is springing forth and growing anew, and God's doing this brand new work. And he says, he told them another parable. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. I don't know if you've ever tried to plant mustard. It's the tiniest, tiniest seed. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. And though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of the garden plants. It becomes almost like a tree, so that even birds can come and perch in its branches. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but that's really true. If you've ever tried to plant one of those seeds and you let them grow and grow and grow, they'll get so big that they really could support the weight of that. He says, but then let me tell you another parable. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. I don't know if you've ever tried to make bread. But if you ever tried to make bread, you know, they tell you, here's how much, you know, yeast to use, or leaven, right? You put it in. Now, this is the real stuff. This is not like baking powder, right? You put leaven in. And that yeast is actually a living thing, right? It grows. It actually, you really don't have to, the amount of yeast you put in is not really all that important, because yeast reproduce themselves, right? They eat the sugars in the flour, and then they begin to reproduce and grow. Do you see the analogy here? He's saying, look, the seed, remember we're talking about the stump of Israel. The stump of Israel has been cut down. The plant is growing, but it's going to take time. It's going to happen in ways that you don't see it now. I don't know. I remember as a kid I had to do a science project about seeds, and I can't remember what it was. Honestly, it was pretty sadistic. I had to, like, torture these seeds to see which ones would grow, like salt water, and, you know, I had to do bad things to them, you know, which appealed to me as a 12-year-old boy, right? It was fun, you know, shout at them and things like that, you know. But I remember, have you ever done that? I remember I had the journal. I kept the journal. And it said, day one, nothing. Day two, nothing. Right? I mean, have you ever tried to explain to a kid what happens, really? Remember when the kid plants a seed and they come back the next day and they expect it to be like Jack and the Beanstalk? And they're like, where is it? I still do that now. I'm like, come on, hurry up. Right? Because plants, unless you have a time-lapse camera on them, you can't, it's imperceptible. The growth is so slow that we don't see it. Even day to day, it's hard to, unless you have a measuring, you know, and you're willing to measure in microns or something, you know, you can't see this kind of growth. But it's growing. And eventually it will grow so large. Or that yeast that gets into the plant eventually, or gets into the bread, eventually the whole dough is leavened. You see, what Jesus is saying is it's going to take patience. If you want this holy seed of Israel to grow, we're going to have to be patient. And it's going to happen when we're kind of not looking, right? It's going to happen when we're not actually watching it. This growth happens when we're not actually looking at it, but it's happening. And we're going to have to be patient. And then he goes on to talk about another, and it seems like these are very odd things. It seems like these are very not related parables, but Matthew puts them together right here so we'll get them. And then he says, let me tell you another parable. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. And when a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, he went and sold all he had. This is in verse 44, if you're following along. And in verse 45, he says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. And when he found one of great value, he went away and he sold everything he had and bought it. Now, do you hear the language of secret coming back, right? He says, a man went to, when he found, he went to a field and he found a treasure hidden in a field. And what did he do? He hid it again, right? This concept of secrets that Jesus has been talking about. These things that we only get if we're on the inside. He says, this man finds the secret treasure. And he decides, and he hides it again, and he goes, and he sells everything he has so that he can buy that land so that this vast treasure will be open to him. Now, Jesus is not talking about the legality of how to get good real estate, right? Please understand, this is not Jesus doing ethical teaching here and saying it's okay to defraud the person that you're buying land from. It's not. Don't do that, right? We miss the point. What Jesus is saying is the kingdom of heaven is like a secret. And when we find it, we're willing to do whatever it takes to get the secret. It's like that pearl, right? We go and find the most beautiful, the largest pearl. And the only way we can get this pearl is to let go of all of our other pearls, right? There are no string of pearls. It is only one. We're only allowed one because it costs us all that we have to get this one beautiful pearl. Do you see this progression that Jesus is talking about? He's talking about laying seeds and about the seed growing and realizing that if we could just see around us, we'd see the plants grow, but it's hard for us to see it. But once we see it, once we see what the kingdom is really like, we're willing to do anything we can do to get it. We're willing to do anything because when we find the kingdom, it is so good and God's promises are so true and the peace that he offers is so real that we're willing to do anything. We're willing to sell all we have to get it. That's why as we read these stories, these things roll on and on. But the problem is that there's a couple of other stories. I don't know if you've noticed, but I've skipped. Right? There's a couple of others. And actually, they work in the same way. And I'll just read one of them, but it's representative of the others. So when you read this afternoon, you can look at it. It's the parable of the net. He says, once again, the kingdom of heaven. Remember, he's saying, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. And he's been doing this. And this is in verse 47. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. And when it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. And then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw away the bad fish. And this is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into a blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of the teeth. And then he looks at them and says, do you understand these things? At this point, he's talking to just his 12 disciples. He says, do you understand what I'm saying? And they said, yes, they replied. And he said to them, and this is a very cryptic thing, but listen to what he's saying. He says, therefore, every teacher of the law, every scribe who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. What Jesus is telling them is we have to understand what he's saying, that this promise that was old is now being made new, and it's being made new right in your sight. And the people, remember, we're going back to Isaiah. Most of the people of Isaiah's time did not repent. They did not believe the word that God had given to Israel, and they were sent into exile. And Jesus said, Israel is once again in danger of missing out. Because the kingdom is growing right in front of their eyes, but they do not see it. They cannot hear it, and their hearts don't understand it. You see, we don't like this part of what Jesus speaks about, right? I don't. I mean, I wish he'd kind of skip this part, right? But even today, he would look at us and say, do you see it? Do you understand it? Because if you don't, you will miss what God's doing. There is a point in our lives where we have to decide if that pearl of great price is worth everything else we have. We have to sell everything we have and buy it. And if we don't, we miss out on this. Right? And the cost of missing out is that we are separated. And the weeping and gnashing of teeth, that is the image that's used in the Old Testament of people when God sends them into exile, away from his presence, away from his promise. So this morning, what we have to ask is what Jesus asks. He looks at him and he says, do you understand? Do you get it? Right? He's talking to his 12, his inner 12. He says, do you understand what I'm talking about? You're going to have to pull out the old. You're going to have to pull out the new. It's all good. You're going to have to really think about it. And ultimately, you're going to have to decide if the pearl of great price is worth selling everything else for. And so this morning we end with this challenge. Do you understand? In just a moment, we are going to celebrate this meal together. And believe it or not, the early church, they called this meal a mystery. That's what the word sacrament means. It's the Greek word mystery. The Greek word mystery. We're going to celebrate this mystery. And this mystery, this, as it were, a secret, right, is for those who've heard, who've understood. This is for God's family. Because Jesus has family secrets. Right? And when he calls us into this family, he calls us to share in these great mysteries. And so this morning, I hope you'll just hear that question reverberate in your ears. Do you understand these things? Let's pray together. Father, we come and we realize that our ears have become hard of hearing and our eyes are often, very often, shut to the realities that give us, and our hearts are very hard. So Holy Spirit, we need you to come and we need you to open our eyes, whisper in our ears and soften our hearts so that we can anew and afresh taste your grace and understand with our hearts and repent and find hope and healing.